We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey, Chicago, what do you say? This is the CHGO Cubs podcast presented by Blue Moon, made brighter. Get Blue Moon delivered and see delivery options by visiting get.bluemoonbeer.com/CHGO. Celebrate responsibly. Blue Moon Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. Happy Wednesday. Cody Del Mendo, Ryan Herrera, Luke Stuckmeyer in the box. And Corey Freeman, he's here. I haven't seen him in like 2 months, it feels like it, but he's here in person. It's a pleasure. It's actually a pleasure to see you.
He has a haircut.
He got a haircut.
And he got a haircut.
Yeah. I came back to Chicago once Sammy Sosa did.
Mm. Oh, yeah. There you go.
So you, I followed suit.
Corey Freedman, Sammy Sosa.
Where's, I wore my
tell
Sammy
me what the
Sosa?
Difference is.
Stars of the 90s.
Yeah. Corey came back to Chicago like Sammy. Luke's on steroids. I'm wearing the Sammy Sosa hoodie. It all matches up.
Corey and I were actually on a Navy SEALs mission that we can't tell you about, but that's where we've been for a while.
Yeah. Or okay. You were drinking mojitos in Mexico, in Cabo.
Not mojitos. Blue Moon.
Oh, you're right.
Strictly Blue Moon. I'm strictly a Blue Moon guy.
You're right.
All right, so as always, we got a few things to go over before we start the show. Shout out to Chad, our new diehard. I know Chad is a stereotypical name, but you know what? This Chad is my new favorite Chad, all right? Because he's a diehard.
Yeah.
The name Chad has a stereotype, right? This Chad, he's a loyal guy, though.
This Chad is different.
This Chad is different. He's a loyal guy. Like I said, he's diehard. Also, 8 days until opening day. 8 days, which means 8 days until the watch party and live postgame show at Country Club in Wrigley on March 28th. Again, it says 6 p.m. On this flyer that we're putting up on YouTube. I'll probably be there like an hour before that just to like hang out, have like a couple Blue Moons and, you know, do all the things. So, yeah, get prepared for the Cubs to win by 1,000 against the Rangers.
We were all at Country Club last year for the opening day show. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. Yeah. We had a lot of people come out, too.
Yeah, we did.
So, it's free to come, so just it's on our website at under the events tab, allchgo.com. We just ask people to RSVP if they are coming because we just kind of want to know a good amount of people who are coming, number count, right? Yeah.
I'm sure Niren's going to come again.
Niren was there last year, right?
Love anyone else, especially the people in our chat that that we haven't met yet in person. If you want to come, man, that'd be great.
Also, our takeovers are now on the events tab on the website as well. At least the one against the White Sox and the one against the Yankees on September 6th. So the first one will be June 4th. So you still have plenty of time to purchase a ticket to that. But if you are a diehard, you can get it 20% off now, you know?
Yeah.
So Chad, if you're listening, man, you can come to our takeover and get 20% off since you're a diehard.
Yeah. You mentioned diehard. I want to I don't think we talked about it yesterday, but I did have another newsletter go out yesterday on Justin Steele, talking about at least one way he can improve on his 2023. Just, you know, build on that, build on his breakout year. So that went into inboxes yesterday. It is free right now, and there'll be one more free one. But when the season starts, those are going to be diehard exclusives. So it's that, the Cubs 40-man database that we have that I've been promising additions to it. I promise you tomorrow morning we will have more players going into that database. Another diehard exclusive perk. So if you want access to all that throughout the season, make sure you're becoming a diehard and joining us in this community.
Sure.
Hey, I got a diehard question. Somebody asked in the chat the other day, you know, remember we used to get the sweatshirt for being a diehard? Now it's just the shirt, right? There is no diehard hoodie, or is that wrong?
We could check.
Remember the diehard hoodie is available on the locker. Yeah, no, you can buy that now.
Available in the locker. Gotcha.
Yeah, it's available.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
And it's not there the one. Go. Is it the one that has the CHGO flag, or is it the black one that Herb has that says diehard on the decal?
It's the black one with the diehard decal on it.
Yeah, okay.
That's what I thought too. Sales guy Jim, who's sitting like 20 feet away, says in the chat that he's going to buy me a Blue Moon at our event. So I'm going to hold him to that.
Nice.
I see all you in the chat. Barb, we are live. Hello, Godfather. Michael, Evans, Carter. Hello, guys. Welcome.
A lot of familiar faces in the chat.
Yeah, familiar faces. Hit the like button. And, of course, if you're new here, hit that subscribe button because, of course, we're trying to grow on a daily basis. So today we're going to continue our NL Central positional rankings. Yesterday we did center field. If you missed it, we put up on our YouTube channel, we put up like a regular video just of that segment. So if you listened to first half of yesterday's show but were unable to catch the second half, you can go to our YouTube channel and watch that. It was pretty clear that the Cubs had the best center field in baseball, or not baseball, in the NL Central. Don't let me talk myself into baseball now, okay? So today we'll do right field, and we're going to do left field to finish up the outfield. We're going to talk about Patrick Wisdom's back injury in the second segment. But we'll start with right field here in the first segment. So shall we just list them and then kind of go through and rank them together? Because yesterday I kind of just gave mine, and then you and Luke basically didn't even give yours.
So. Yeah, well, yesterday.
I think, maybe I was right. I don't know.
You gave yours, but I think me and Luke were both on the side of, like, we could give the rankings, but the others felt so close to get, whether you.
I was Cubs 1A, 1B was every other team in the division.
Yeah, right. Yeah. But whether it was like you said you didn't base your rankings on the potential of things. Mm-hmm. I may have leaned the other way because obviously Jackson Chourio, Garrett Mitchell, center field group has a lot of potential in it, but like you said, hasn't proven anything. So
okay,
yesterday's was hard, but I think
the coward's way out. We took the coward's way out. That's okay.
Big of you to admit.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. So we'll just list them to start. Right. So for the Cubs, we got Say Suzuki and Mike Tauchman. For the Cardinals, Jordan Walker and Brendan Donovan. For the Reds, Jake Fraley and Stuart Fairchild. Now, like we said yesterday, TJ Friedl is hurt and is going to be out for however long. So I think it would have been Will Benson if TJ Friedl was healthy to play center field. Mm-hmm. Then for the Brewers, it's Garrett Mitchell or Sal Frelick or Joey Weimer.
And it looks like we are missing the Pirates on that graphic.
And that's okay, Sarah.
That's all right,
Sarah. I think it would have been Brian Reynolds.
Yeah.
Yep.
Brian Reynolds, Jack Suwinski, and Connor Joe are probably in that mix right there.
Yeah.
I copy and pasted whatever you put on there.
So now she's blaming Ryan.
Pull up the slack and you can see where directly I included the Pirates on there.
Yeah,
the Pirates, Brian Reynolds, Jack Suwinski, and Connor Joe.
It's okay. It's okay. Y'all know, we said the names.
Me and Sarah got beef.
It's because she went to Kansas and he went to Mizzou.
That's where it starts. That's where it begins.
Rock chalk.
M-I-Z.
So.
Who's on the steroids here? Out of anger.
I guess, for me, and this, big of me to not be biased about this, but to me, the Cubs win this position again. The Cubs had the most, like, the one guy who consistently played in right field the most last season Say Suzuki played 132 games in right field, I believe. Then when you, like, I guess after that, I would probably go with the Cardinals with Jordan Walker or Brandon Donovan. But, like, I know Jordan Walker's defense is a massive question going into this year. So, it, to me, it's like it's I feel kind of weird putting them second. But offensively, I think they're right there. But the defense is, a big question. Then I'd probably go Pirates with Reynolds or Sawinski. And then I think, you know, I think Brewers after that, and then the Reds last. Because I think the Reds outfield is just not as deep as the rest of the division. Fraley and Fairchild are nice, but I think the Reds would rather play Will Benson in right and have Friedel in center. You know what I mean? So, also, you know, Lars Nootbaar, we mentioned yesterday, is also hurt to start the year. I'd feel a lot better about the Cardinals being second just if he was healthy. And the same thing with, like we said, the same thing about Tommy Edman as well. So, like, I think the Cardinals have really good depth for their outfield. But as we go into opening day, at least, Jordan Walker is a massive question in right field for the Cardinals. He can hit, and I think he's a 30 home run guy potentially, right? But he was a 0.2 F4 last year. 0.2 F4.
Steve wasn't very good.
He had solid offensive numbers. He, like, you could argue that this guy should just be a DH. So he's got a lot to prove in right field defensively if he's going to play there, which I assume the Cardinals are going to play him there, right? So, yeah, I think that then you look at the rest of the division and, you know, the Brewers, there's potential. And I'm not going off potential, so I don't know. And I think the Pirates probably have maybe I'm sleeping on the Pirates a little too much. At least Sawinski and Reynolds have put together solid years or coming off solid years, right?
Yeah, I was gonna say Reynolds. I think Reynolds had a little worse year this past season than he did the year before and a couple years before. But he is a solid player. He got that extension from the Pirates. Was that last season or was that this off season?
It was like at the beginning of last season. Yeah. Okay. During the season.
Okay. So he got that extension. They obviously believe in him in that outfield. I don't know. Cause like with Sawinski and with obviously Reynolds, I think kind of looking at the different depth charts and projections that are out there, it feels like Brian Reynolds will be that starting right fielder for the Pirates, with Sawinski in there, Connor Joe also in there. He's like I said, Brian Reynolds is a really good player, but despite that, he still ended last season with a lower F4 than Suzuki, and that's with Suzuki taking into account the fact that before August, like, his season was pretty up and down. Mm-hmm. So the last 2 months for Suzuki really, really helped that number for sure. So it's another one where I think the Cubs may be the leader in the outfield. Like, just you could look at it on paper and say they probably have the best right field group, but I also don't think it's very they're far ahead of other teams, whereas like I think the Cubs we looked at as probably the clear favorite for the center field yesterday. I don't think right field for the Cubs is that with Suzuki and Tauchman in that group, which again Suzuki's a great right fielder, I think, and I think he could put together a potential all-star season this year. And Tauchman's a solid backup, and you can also have Canario in that group. Just because we don't know his opening day status and whether he'll actually be on the team. But I just don't think they separate themselves as much from the rest of the groups in the division.
I mean, y'all know I'm a big Seiya guy, yeah. So this is easy for me. I think, you know, like Cody said, like Jordan Walker definitely represents someone who can continue to get better. I mean, there's a reason that he was the stud prospect that he was. And of course, you know, coming up, he was a disaster in the field. It took him a minute to get going, but the potential is there. So unfortunately, the Cardinals do have someone, again, depending on how they shake it out with some of their injury stuff, like Jordan Walker is someone who can definitely take that next step and be someone that we are sick to watch coming to the plate for however long. But I'm a big believer in Seiya, and I think of this group, I'm taking him, no question. And of course, he also has his own question marks. You know, he was only that player for a couple months span. Yep. He had some real lows that he had to go through. We've also seen, of course, not to the degree that Walker had, but, you know, Seiya's had to make some adjustments in the field as well. He's made some notoriously bad plays out there.
Don't remind me.
So, you know, of course, there's the potential for that. I think Brian Reynolds is a really solid player. So if you're looking for someone that has kind of that, like, solid floor, kind of a safe bet to just be a solid player, like Brian Reynolds certainly represents that. But, yeah, I'm taking Seiya. I predict big things for him. I'm not, like, the biggest fantasy baseball guy, but did a draft yesterday. Got accused of taking him way too early because I just wasn't going to let him go. Like, I believe in that potential. I believe he's going to be in a better place. And, you know, especially last year, like, dealt with that oblique injury before he ever really got going. And, you know, that being kind of part of his transition, still getting his footing under him into the league, like, I think he's primed for big things this year. Am I betting on All-Star or a four war or something? I don't know, but I think of this group, obviously I'm betting on Seiya Suzuki to be the best right fielder of this group.
Luke?
I think we all agree. It's the Cubs. It's sort of like center fielder. I agree with Ryan that the separation isn't quite as great, but it is the Cubs, and then kind of you could go everybody else. I would go Seiya number one, then I would put Reynolds number two. And the thing that's interesting about that is I would say, I would have to go back and look at last year's, but I would suggest that I probably went Reynolds higher last year. He has a more proven major league career than Seiya does. But as you mentioned, his war, or F war, Seiya's was even better, and he had that horrible stretch last year. So I believe Seiya has hit that hump. Now, yesterday, what was I saying? I said, well, this is a show-me season for Seiya Suzuki. We've had some ups and downs. We've seen the great. We've seen the low. But now I want to see it for 155 games. That's what I want to see. He may not be, and that's not a dig on him. That's just the reality of baseball. I have as much confidence in Seiya Suzuki's big season as I do almost any player on the Cubs this season. I believe he'll be worthy of an All-Star. I don't know if he's going to be an All-Star because a lot of things come into that, but I believe he will play at an All-Star level, which would be huge for the Cubs. So I would go Seiya, then I would go Reynolds, then I would go Cardinals, and you could do whatever you want at the bottom. Fraley's a pretty good player. That's why when you say separation isn't a big deal, Fraley's not a bad guy. Like, if he was on the Cubs, I wouldn't mind. Reynolds, he reminds me of the other outfield side. He's the Ian Happ version of right field. They're similar players. Like, you're not going to complain when they're coming up. They're good players. They've proven it. They're solid players. They're all stars. But for me, it's Seiya and everybody else right now in right field.
Yeah, I mean,
it would probably for me go like Seiya, Reynolds right behind him, and then, I mean, you're probably looking at, like, honestly, like, you're talking about a lot of potential, like Jordan Walker, Garrett Mitchell, and Jake Fraley, if those are the other three starting right fielders. I mean, it'd probably be Jordan Walker, Garrett Mitchell, Jake Fraley. Like, but it feels relatively close because a couple of those guys haven't done a whole lot at the major league level. Jake Fraley was it 1.4 F war last year, so a solid player, but not like a super great player. So yeah, it'd probably be some combination of those three behind Seiya at one and Brian Reynolds at, and then the Cubs combination and the Pirates combination one and two for me.
Yeah,
Would anybody be shocked if any one of those other teams ended up first?
No. Again, because Jordan Walker and Garrett Mitchell are such good players that are still getting their feet wet at the big league level. But as Corey said, you look at Jordan Walker, he's definitely a guy that you could see taking that next step, and whether that is just improving or like having some semblance of a defensive game in right field. Like, we know the dude can hit, and you could totally see him by the end of the year taking a pretty big leap at the major league level.
I mean, we didn't even mention like Mike Tauchman and his, you know, being the backup. Like, he's the fourth outfielder. We talked about him yesterday. Mm-hmm. Obviously, he played mostly center last year. But when Seiya did struggle, and that, you know, they put him in right field a little bit too when they gave him those handful of days off. I know that was just like a 4 or 5 day thing, but still, like, they played Tauchman in all three of those outfield spots too, and he was a solid backup. Again, almost a two war player as your basically fourth outfielder that ended up being kind of like a big part of your team last year. So I think depth wise, the Cubs win here. Going into the season, they win here. And as far as potential, for sure, I think Jordan Walker has the biggest upside, but dude's got to learn how to play the outfield. He had a lot of issues out there, man.
I think, like, in talking about Seiya, too, it does sort of highlight kind of, I think, like, ultimately the, you know, we're 8 days away from the season, so we don't have to belabor it too much, but, like, the frustration with, I think, it not being, like, super clear that the Cubs are, like, absolutely better than all these teams. And I think on Seiya in particular, it's a little disappointing, maybe is the word, that I have such high hopes for him, but it also feels like a lot kind of hinges on him doing that, which I think is not where I wanted them to be. Like,
you want to be like an expectation, not a hope.
Yeah, and you sort of hoping that if he does take that next level, it's not like the offense kind of hinges on that, but it does sort of feel like that. Mm-hmm. Like, if Seiya is not the hitter he was those last couple months, and maybe not quite that good, he was really good in those last 2 months. He doesn't really need to do exactly that. Kind of feels like if he's even like a middle ground of that, you're like kind of need more than that. They didn't really build enough around it. So that's just, like, as we talk about it, something that I'll get over, but I remain frustrated on that. Like,
you have every right to be frustrated.
That wouldn't, it wouldn't be a cherry on top. It would be like, well, we kind of require that to happen. Like, if Seiya has an average season, it's tough to see where this really goes, you know?
No. Yeah. It's, you definitely want to see him separate himself from the pack, at least for what we're doing right now. Separate himself from the pack by the end of the year. Like, that would be if he could do that, that's obviously just in itself huge for him and huge for the Cubs.
You know what separates themselves from the pack? Factor meals.
Oh, they, yeah.
There's nothing like Factor meals when it comes to, you know, these types of, personalized different meals.
Meal kits, meal plans, meal kits, stuff like that.
Thank you. That you get sent straight to you in the mail. You don't have to go to a store to pick them up. It's eating better is easy with Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals. Every fresh, never frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to go in just 2 minutes. You'll have over 35 different options to choose from every week, including Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Also, there are more than 60 add-ons to help you stay fueled up and feeling good all day long. So what are you waiting for? Get started today and get after your goals, all right? I'm down, 24 pounds since the start of the year? Factor meals is a big part in that, okay?
Yeah, you're almost there.
What are you
there.
Pointing at?
That Seiya hit a homer as we were talking about.
Nice.
There you go.
credit to us. Yeah. You know what? Seiya probably eats Factor meals too, all right? They're two-minute meals. You fuel up fast with Factor's restaurant-quality meals that are ready to heat and eat whenever you are. They got everything from pancakes, smoothies, and more. Discover a wide variety of easy options for the entire day, like breakfast, midday bites, and more. There's no prep at all. No mess, all right? Factor meals are ready to heat and eat, so there's no prepping, cooking, or cleanup needed. You just need a microwave, all right? They're flexible for your schedule. Get as much or as little as you need by choosing your meals every week. Plus, you can pause or reschedule your deliveries anytime, all right? Factor is the perfect solution if you're looking for fast premium options with no cooking required. You can sign up and save. They've done math. Factor is less expensive than takeout, and every meal is dietitian approved once again. So head to factormeals.com/CHGOCubs50 and use code CHGOCubs50 to get 50% off. That's code CHGOCubs50 at factormeals.com/CHGOCubs50 to get 50% off.
Now the rest of the chat is telling me that we were lied to. Seiya's not even playing today. Why y'all lying to us?
Why'd you lie to us?
Oh.
People in the chat saying, "Say you later." He just crushed one. Why?
Yeah,
why?
The only thing that's going to get me past this is if I have some blue moon.
No, I was going to say, like, Seiya may not have crushed one, but we crush blue moon all the time.
Absolutely.
Love crushing blue moon. I got this one
right
here.
Wake up, blue moon. Go eat lunch, blue moon.
Should we? Oh, I got it. I can't get underneath.
There you go.
There it is. Nice cold right out of the fridge.
Ooh.
Again, like I said, can, bottle, draft, however you like to take it. Blue Moon.
Orange slice.
Yeah, with a little orange slice in the draft. Like, Blue Moon's great. Love Blue Moon. Can't live without it at this point. Can't. Blue Moon, made brighter. Get Blue Moon delivered and see delivery options by visiting get.bluemoonbeer.com/CHGO. Celebrate responsibly. Blue Moon Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
All right, this next segment, it's also presented by Factor. Today's takeaways are presented by Factor. Use code CHGO Cups 50 to get 50% off your first Factor box and free wellness shots for life with any active subscription at factormeals.com/CHGO Cups 50. All right. Patrick Wisdom's back. I feel like we've been talking about back injuries a lot lately. All right. It's starting to give me a back injury. All right. He was scratched last night due to back stiffness. And I think, what did Craig Council say? It's concerning because he had a quad injury last week. And now he was scratched last night because of the back injury. So he's kind of been, you know, not healthy most of the spring. And, listen, I think the Dom Smith, Garrett Cooper era is coming. And, I think this also opens up more questions about third base as well, just because Wisdom can play third base. And I will say it was good to see Christopher Morel make the routine plays last night in the spring training game. He had a couple routine ground balls hit to him last night that, you know, made a clean throw right to Michael Bush at first base. I know that's no one's worried about the glove. They're worried about him being able to throw the ball to first base. Two accurate throws, so that's a good sign. But again, having that backup third baseman with Nick Madrigal still hurt, from my understanding, and now Wisdom, it's like your third base is kind of thinning out. Miles Mastroboni playing third base today, which I've been waiting to see him play some third base because he played third base last year. You know, he's my guy. But still. For sure.
No, yeah. So Patrick Wisdom back stiffness was scratched. So we're going on a week now where he hasn't played. And the word out of Arizona from Craig Council, obviously concerning, or they're concerning. They didn't know the next steps yet, but that now his opening day is definitely in question. The update from Madrigal from Council that he has taken some live at bats. He had the hamstring injury a few weeks ago. And he could play in minor league games by the end of the weekend or early next week. So, like, going right up to opening day. And this is Council's quote I'm reading from Andy Martinez, Marquee Sports Network. It just puts us really close, Council said. I'm not sure we would have an answer yet there. He's got a chance to be ready for opening day, obviously. But it would be pushing it. So you have two potential third base options that are, at this point, may not and maybe even more probably not going to be ready to be on the team opening day. So, I mean, you're looking at, Mastroboni obviously in that mix, but Morel's looking more and more likely by the day to be the opening day third baseman.
Yeah, and I mean, unfortunately for both Wisdom and Madrigal, like, they're not the type of player. You shouldn't be pushing that. Yeah. Like, you want the depth, sure, but they're not, neither of them are good enough or like necessary enough. Like, what are you rushing? We don't need Nick Madrigal as quickly as possible, do we?
And
I'd say the same for Patrick Wisdom. Like, these are guys who really should not be getting a ton of playing time, more selective playing time, if anything. So if they're not fully healed, there's not even a discussion to be had. I know they want the depth and, like, at least depth that they understand, but this is not, it's a very long season, and these are not, there's just no reason to be doing that. It's tough for both of them, you know, Wisdom included now with the back stuff, that, like, that sort of plays into it. Like, they're going to have to make some decisions. Of course, you can put guys on the injured list and things like that. But you know, even as our chat is saying, like, these are guys that really questionably should have a role in the first place. So it's going to open stuff up for other guys to take those opportunities, whether it's Garrett Cooper, as you said, Miles Mastroboni, who, you know, showed some good stuff last year. I think, like, a lot of us were pretty frustrated when he was, like, leading off with a 400 OPS, which was super weird and at least something I am pretty positive Craig Counsell is not going to do. But a lot of his, you know, under the hood, like, batted ball metrics were good. He was able to be used all over the field. Like, and so this is going to give them at least an opportunity. And yeah, like, looking at our YouTube chat, like, Rachel puts it pretty well, like, a pile of meh players isn't really depth. And so, yeah, that's kind of how I feel about this. Like, you're never rooting for guys to get injured, and you'd like Counsell and Hoyer to be able to choose from the roster of players at their healthiest and, like, make those decisions with everybody being healthy and, like, kind of all the information being there. But, yeah, that's unfortunately not the position that they're in. So they're going to have to figure out, who do we want to give those opportunities to? And I think, moreover, how much do we want to keep putting on these guys? Like, do you expect anything out of them? How much do we, not that we care that they get healthy, but at a certain point, it's like, yeah, these guys really questionably have a certain role in the first place. Now, if Patrick Wisdom has, like, a lingering back problem, how much do you put in for, like, Nick Madrigal at this point, not being able to trust at all that he can stay on the field for more than a couple months at a time? So even if he works himself back, like, how much stock are you going to put in that? Are you going to cut other guys to give him that opportunity back? Are you going to cut other guys to see if Patrick Wisdom's back now holds up? I mean, backs are a messed up thing, as we know. Yeah. So that's the decision that these guys are going to have to make.
That's a good, that's a really good point. This isn't Saya's injury last season where you were like, oh, what are they going to do? He's not going to make it back. These are fringe guys trying to make the team right now who have injuries, and a hamstring in a back, I know, and you can say this about most injuries, but a hamstring in a back, even if they are ready by opening day, and there are a lot of off days early in the season, there's a lot of cold weather, and backs and hamstrings don't do well in all that cold weather early in the season. So there's nothing that says, even if they get ready by opening day, that this could not linger on into April, into May. Like, that's why they have to be careful with it. And I think it's part of why you see Craig Counsell putting out the type of lineup that he put out today, right? He's looking for that flexibility. He wants to know whether it's in April or whether it's in September, where can I slide some guys if I need to, even if it's just for a couple innings. You see Canarios played left, Canarios played right. You see Nico back over at short today. You see Mastroboni at third. He's kind of moving guys around and just saying, listen, you're not going to play here a lot, but I have to see if you can play here, and I want to give you some reps. Even if they're, you're not going to get a lot of reps until 2 months from now, I want to see what you'd be like if you're in the middle of a groove and if I can afford to put you there for a couple of innings. That's what these two types of injuries kind of have led to. And as Corey was saying, we went into this offseason saying first base and third base. Not much has changed. I mean, there's possibilities, but not much has changed.
Well, and this is going to be, you know, for as much as I and a lot of other people have talked up Craig Counsell and really, like, trust Craig Counsell to handle a lot of things and make the right decisions, this is a tough one for him. Yeah. And he had, you know, he had to deal with some less than stellar kind of platoon groups in Milwaukee as well. But this is going to be, like, you want to test your managerial chops. Like, here's a third baseman that we're not really sure if he can field, like, to a passable level. Your depth isn't that good, and they're hurt. So, you know, good luck, right? Like, it's going to be an interesting situation if they do get the impression that Morel cannot do it. Like, the throws just, it's not working. Good luck. You know what I mean? Like, you're going to need somebody to step up, and it's going to be one of those things that they're going to have to pretty quickly be able to.
Well, the thing is that all of this is a play until Matt Shaw. Like, how many at-bats do the Cubs want Matt Shaw to get in the minors this year before potentially getting called up? I think a large majority of prospect people and all that believe that Matt Shaw will make his debut this year.
Yeah.
But my frustration of this entire situation has nothing really to do with third base. It's just the DH situation. Because at this point, I don't know who's DHing. I didn't think Wisdom was going to be your full-time DH, so it's not a big deal to me. As far as, like, his injury, like, it hurts because he brings a big power threat and he's not expensive. But, like, I really don't care that Garrett Cooper's had a great spring. And I don't care about Dom Smith, even though Dom Smith, his swing looks nice. He looks healthy. They've talked a lot about – or he talked a lot to the media about, being healthy now and and how he feels it's going to – affect his numbers and stuff in a positive way. I've read all this stuff. I guess my frustration is just the fact that we're sitting here 8 days before opening day. You still have this question of, honestly, in my opinion, it's more of DH. Like, Michael Bush is going to get this full run at first base, and to me, he's looked nice in the spring. He's had some great at bats. I like the approach. He walked again last night. I'm not worried at a point of where first base is a massive hole like it felt like going into last year. It's just this DH situation. Like, who is it going to be? How are they going to fit both Garrett Cooper and Dom Smith on this roster? If they put Wisdom on the IL, I guess that'd be how they would do it. They'd have to put him and Caleb Killian on the IL still. So I guess that's how they would do it. But then once Wisdom is healthy, what do they do then? Or are they just going to cut Patrick Wisdom? You know what I mean? And so, like, there's all these questions. They still have so many guys to cut off this roster. We have 8 days before opening day. Like,
yeah. I
don't want them to rush the whole cutting of guys. But at the same time, it's like, what are we doing?
Yeah. Well, that's 100%. The reason is, like, we're finding out now that Wisdom is hurt. Got back stiffness. And if you had cut other guys prior to, a week ago, then you're looking at, you just lost a couple guys for no reason.
Yeah.
That's why you keep, they're, that's why they are keeping guys this long. And I think when you mentioned the DH thing, not that it's not a question mark, but it's just like, Council's message this whole spring has kind of been like, he hasn't been saying we need to find one guy to be our full-time DH. Like, that's not how they were going to do it. Never felt like the plan. They've ran a couple different guys in at DH, and I think that's just been the idea, is they're going to have different guys contributing in that role, whether that's Morrell, taking a day off of third base, give someone else the opportunity and he DHs, or give a guy in the outfield a day off and he DHs, or it's Wisdom DHing, or whoever it is. Worrying about who's going to be the full-time DH there's not really going to be one unless they go out and sign JD Martinez or something like that.
Yeah. I think we got a super chat about that. Oh. And, from Justin Nelson, appreciate that. Need to know why for the presumptive cost and our current options, JD Martinez hasn't been signed by the Cubs. It's something we've talked about. Yeah. It's almost assuredly they don't want to go over that threshold. And I know, you guys have talked about it, but obviously, like, for me, I've listened to Brendan explain this to me like 50 times. they don't want to go over, it doesn't seem like they want to go over at all, or at least right now, but they also don't want to go over that first threshold for moves they don't feel truly like push them to a different sort of like probability. And I think the argument would be that whatever JD Martinez was able to contribute isn't moving you enough. Right now, they're like a probably fringe playoff team. Yeah. Enough goes right, you can win a bad division. They were a game out last year from making the playoffs. And unfortunately for all of us, that seems fine for the front office and our ownership group. We've complained about that being fine enough. Does JD Martinez move you from that description to a sure division winner or assuredly a play? Not really. You're kind of in the same spot. At least that's how they're going to view it. So, but I do think like that this conversation highlights again sort of what is frustrating about where we're at. Where one, you are talking about a bunch of, I don't want to call it a bunch of garbage. That's rude. But this isn't exactly the most
Yeah.
This isn't the greatest conversation of baseball talent ever assembled. You know, we're debating who should be on the roster where it's like half the chat is like, I hope I never see that guy play again for right or wrong. So that's a little frustrating.
Yeah.
The uncertainty of it also frustrating. I think the one thing we all asked was just like, be the best team in this division. And the fact that we can't really confidently sit here and say that with any level of certainty, frustrating. It also highlights the sort of precarious nature of the situation that they put themselves in. Now,
precarious,
as I just said, the group we're talking about, it's not really the best depth. It's not particularly exciting. It has a lot of flaws. But it also highlights, like, this roster is... it's on thin ice, man. Like, one injury, one guy not performing to those projections, it makes you really question stuff. And for now, the injuries being to Nick Madrigal or Patrick Wisdom, things like that, it's not going to, oh, shoot, now they're going to be awful. But it does sort of highlight, like, this depth is thin. The way that this all works out is... it's not that many paths to greatness for this team. You are like one major injury away from a big time player to it being like, yeah, this team has the potential maybe to be bad. Like, if certain guys don't play up to projections, you're putting a lot in Michael Bush, you're putting a lot in Christopher Morel, like unproven things. And yeah, so I think it just highlights, it's very easy for this to look pretty dicey, yeah, even though right now the injuries are only affecting, you know, maybe like that not so stellar depth. But it does highlight, like, it's pretty easy for this to create some really tricky conversations for them, like, very fast.
Yeah.
You know what's for sure though, Luke? Yep. It's CD One Price Cleaners.
Yeah, if you're looking for a clear path to greatness, just take that path right to CD One Price Cleaners like I did the other day. I picked up my meds at Walgreens. I went next door to the one in Arlington Heights, dropped off the comforters for the winter, dropped them off in the morning. Bang, they were ready in the afternoon. Low prices. Customers save over 30% on their dry cleaning bill by switching to CD One Price Cleaners. Simple, transparent service. Other cleaners charge a different price for every garment type. Plus, they have upcharges. You may pay a different price each time you visit at CD One Price Cleaners. We charge one low price for any garment. That's right. Even sports jerseys, important with baseball season here, sports jerseys, and maybe a Caleb Williams jersey coming up here too for you. One low price. Fast turnaround. CD One Price Cleaners has your order ready the same day or the next day. Other cleaners take 2 to 4 days to have your garments ready. And the best news is they text you when it's done, so you don't have any guesswork there. Bing, hits your phone, go pick it up. Wide variety of services, like I said, dry cleaning, wash and fold laundry, blankets, comforters, tailoring, alterations, leather cleaning, area rug cleaning. Again, leather cleaning. So that nice Cubs leather vest that Corey likes to wear out there to a Cubs game, that sleeveless leather Cubs vest he's got with the tassels at the bottom, that's going to be cleaned and ready to go same day. Visit CHGO.CD1, that's one.com. Link in the description. Once you're there, you can pick from an in-store coupon or online pickup and delivery coupon options.
You got to drop off your dry cleaning, right? Well, yep. Do it in a new car, all right? Are you in the market for a new vehicle? Well, if you are, then we have some great news for you. Our partner Ray Chrysler Dodge Jeep and Ram in Fox Lake is celebrating the Jeep Celebration event all month long. And you know what that means. You'll be able to rave about their savings on a wide selection of inventory. For a limited time, lease a new 2024 Jeep Grand Cherokee, Laredo Altitude for $439
Laredo,
a month.
Yeah.
I know the car. I can't pronounce
Laredo.
It.
Laredo.
Like Texas.
For $439 a month for 39 months. If that Grand Cherokee isn't big enough for you, check out the third row and lease a new 2024 Jeep Grand Cherokee Limited L for $479 a month for 39 months. At Ray CDJR, you'll always be able to shop one of Chicagoland's largest inventories and drive home with more money in your pocket than you'd expect thanks to Raise Price Promise. Don't miss out. Shop great deals all month long and save big because Ray CDJR makes buying a new vehicle more affordable than ever. But that's not all. Just for listening, all of you in the chat, just for listening, you get a free oil change when you mention CHGO at the service center or mention CHGO when you book online at RaceEDJR/service. But you have to schedule before April 1st.
So we're getting close.
We're getting there. All right. Do it now. So if you're in the market for a new vehicle, you have to check them out. Team at Ray Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, because they are the only team we recommend. Visit them today on Route 12 in Fox Lake. For more information, visit Ray CDJR in Fox Lake or RayCDJR.com, serving the community since 1963.
So there's a comment in the chat I want to respond to, but at first when Luke said that about the leather vest, I was like, I would never wear a leather vest. But then I was thinking of, like, you know, a vintage kind of Stone Cold Steve Austin leather. And then as I'm thinking about it, I'm like, you know what? Like, now I'm kind of into it, right? Like, you know, steel 316 on the back, the smoking skull. Anyway, Brendan will yell at me for talking about wrestling.
WrestleMania only.
So, but just like in the chat, Keybert saying, I hear you, Corey, but that's the case for any MLB team. If a major component goes down, then it jeopardizes anyone's season. That's true, but I think
there are other teams that are more well equipped.
Yeah, anybody I think would admit that, like
the Dodgers
or Braves are, you know, positioned as such that if, you know, I mean, it happened to the Braves. Like, Acuna got hurt. Was that last year or the year before?
Ago.
Yeah. And they were fine. Like, it almost literally didn't matter to them because that depth is so good and because they're built so well that they can afford it. Like, that's the thing, is that we're looking at low 80s-ish kind of projections still. I haven't looked at whatever they've updated it to. Yeah. So a major injury, instead of taking them from like a 98-win team to a 95-win team, it might literally take them out of the playoffs. And it goes to the conversation where a lot of those options, we just still don't have those answers on. It would be one thing if we felt really confident that when Canario got in there, he was ready to take that. We have no idea. And that's been one of those sort of frustrating things. Like, if it does happen, you know.
You're putting a lot on unproven guys.
Yeah. I will rebuttal to this. Because, like, Kybert in the chat, he's like, Braves a special case. And, like, to what he's saying is, like, I agree. Like, you mentioned the Dodgers and the Braves. Well, all right. Well, those are World Series favorites. We know the Cubs aren't World Series favorites, but we think that they can take a step from last year. We can all confidently sit here today and believe that this team is better than last year's team at this time, right?
Yeah.
I think we can all sit here and confidently believe that, even though a lot of it is based on projection. We think the depth is better. We think that the prospects that are scheduled to debut this year are better and could potentially help impact the win total, right? So as much as, yeah, I wish the Cubs were in the Braves or the Dodgers position going into this year. Yeah, I wish that the Cubs had Ohtani. I dreamed about it for months, okay? But I think that's the only, like, that's what I push back a little bit on, is, like, I do think the roster overall is still better than going into last year. There's no question. There's no Trey Mancini.
No,
there's no Eric Hosmer. There's no Tucker Barnhart. The guys that are filling in to replace those guys are all young and have done something recently, except for Michael Bush, who still is a top 50 prospect in baseball.
He's worth giving the runway to.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right? Top 50 prospect in all of baseball. Not like in the Cup system, in baseball. All right? So I guess that's how I'll just kind of end is just the fact that what we're all saying about Wisdom and Madrigal and all that, like, yes, it's in a way a little concerning, but based off what we talked about in the first segment and yesterday, like, the Cardinals having Tommy Edman being hurt, Lars Nootbaar being hurt, you know, like, TJ Friedl being out for the Reds, like, the Cubs don't have an injury like that going into opening day. So to me, that's a positive.
Well, so that's a good segue into the next thing that we were going to talk about, which I wanted to say, to a little bit backing up Corey. It's like, I think what he's trying to say is just that if a major injury were to happen to one of their more important players, they are just less equipped than some other teams to weather that storm. Like Ian Happ, we're talking about left fielders now, the best left fielders in the Central. Ian Happ, like when he got hurt earlier in the spring training, we didn't know if he was going to be ready for opening day or how long that would be. Clearly now he's back in games playing, so it looks like he is going to be ready for opening day. But like, who knows, had he had gotten a major injury, whether the Cubs would have been able to, you know, weather that storm, because he is a pretty important player for them right now.
Yeah.
But I'll let...
When I think, too, there was another, you know, getting back to, like, some of that luxury tax stuff and, like, the J.D. Martinez thing. I think, you know, I've talked about before, like, the real hope at this point, like, I think at this point the roster is the roster. I know that there's, you know, there's been some weird, like, free agents still out there taking weird deals. So you never know, like, what comes up. But I think the key is going to be, if they don't want to go over now, okay. But if they are in a position at the deadline
to go over,
like last year, where they really need something, and it's like, you are in this division, you are in this playoff hunt, but you're going to need whatever to get through this season. Last year, it was more solid bullpen depth. Maybe this year, the team's doing well, they're in first place, but the third base situation is a mess. They must be able, they must be willing to spend that money and eat that tax threshold if it's going to actually help them pursue making the playoffs and securing that. If they don't,
they will. I can tell you that right now. If
I don't know, dude. What gives
year,
you what gives
will.
You that confidence? I would say I'm not really sure.
I mean, I've had conversations with different people that they're in a different situation right now. Obviously,
breaking news.
When we it's not even breaking news. It's just like they're in a much better position.
Yeah.
To like, and that's also part of why.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time: the roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
They aren't making more moves now is like that, because we talked about it the other day on the show, that it just limits what they could do at the trade deadline as far as that flexibility and being I think the Cubs are, if they're in that position, my belief is that the Cubs are willing to go over the luxury tax threshold to get, you know, whatever player they need to do. And but again, that's why they're not doing it now, because that just limits flexibility later on. But
right, and this is largely why I don't think Jordan Montgomery will be here, but we'll see.
But yeah, so moving
good,
into left
good
field.
Good segue to left field, all right? Because you mentioned Ian Happ. This list, some people in the chat are reacting to this list as if it's ranked. We just threw this list together. This is not a ranking, all right? I guess this is kind of similar to right field. Like, it's a little bit more competitive than center field. I guess the Brewers would be number one because Christian Yelich has more experience. And if we're going to use Bellinger being an MVP, like, as an excuse for him to be the best in the division yesterday, I guess technically I have to do this, even though I don't wanna. All right. Big of me to do so. Okay.
You can, I won't. No,
but I would say the Cubs are at least second in this in this group. Brendan Donovan, he's kind of like a utility guy. I think it would be Lars Nootbaar if he was healthy. Then Spencer Steer is also like he's played all across the diamond, played some third base last year, played some first base. I think this year he might get more time in left field. And then with the Pirates, Jack Sawinski, if he's not playing right, he's probably in left, right? The Pirates are going to play Sawinski. So he's going to be starting somewhere, whether in one of those corner outfield spots. So, it's a lot more competitive of the three positions in the outfield, sure. I believe. But I would say the Cubs are right there, top two, at the very least, yeah. in this one.
What do you think, Luke?
I think it's Brewers. I think it's Cubs. I think it's Cardinals. I think it's Pirates. And then it's Reds. The one thing I would say, again, I don't think there's a ton of separate, like right field, I don't think the separation for the Cubs and the other teams behind them is as great as it was in center field. I think what you see is that the outfield in the National League Central has a ton of depth of really good outfielders. Yeah. It doesn't have superstar potential quite like in the East in the American League might, or some other divisions would have, but it's got a lot of really good. I would say Cody Bellinger might have the highest upside of any outfielder potentially in the entire division. Like, he has the most superstar potential of almost any outfielder in the division. Yelich, you could argue that's Yelich. Okay, that's fine. But I don't think that there's a ton of superstar talent. I think what you also see with the Cubs is we're now looking at a position of strength for the Cubs, right? We're looking at a position of strength, not just left field. Outfield has become a major position of strength for the Chicago Cubs, not only because you have Hap, who I'm ranking second, and that's a gold glover and an all-star in left. We have Bellinger. We put first. I put Seiya first. So I went first, and second on the outfield rankings, right?
Looking at the division, that's really good.
Look at the AAA outfield lineup the Cubs have going. Owen Casey, Alcantara, and PCA. They probably have the best AAA outfield too, the best AA outfield. So outfield has become a major position of strength for the Cubs. And while, yeah, we do worry about the depth at third base and first base, even if Hap were hurt, I don't worry about it in the outfield because I think it's a place of organizational strength right now.
Yeah, no, I mean, I agree with that. And then, we didn't even mention Canario, who he's just kind of in limbo right now, but he's still part of that depth. We had Happ and Tauchman as the left field grouping just because Tauchman's the fourth outfielder. But, Canario, he had very limited at-bats, but he had some success last season. So he's definitely in that grouping. And if he makes the opening day roster, you're looking at him as the fourth/fifth outfielder along with Tauchman. I'm kind of with you guys in that I'd go Yelich. Would lead or the Brewers with Yelich and even Garrett Mitchell if he's in that, or whoever it is. I forgot who we put in there. Weimer and
Joey Weimer.
Yeah. Whoever is in there, but Yelich at the top for the Brewers. That's just, especially when he had that bounce back season last year. He had been a couple of years removed from that ceiling that we saw from him, that he won the MVP in the past. He had a couple of down years, and we were kind of sitting here wondering, is Yelich ever going to get back to that level? Last year, he got close. I don't know if he specifically got back to that level, but he was pretty good last year. So I'd probably have him at one. Hap is, a one-time All-Star, two-time All-Star? One-time All-Star. He's proven. He's important to the Cubs lineup. He had a good year last year. So he's probably right there at number two. And then, I'd probably go, what do we got? Swinski's there. Who do we put in left field for the Reds? It was
Steer.
Steer and Donovan. Yeah. Those three are neck and neck. It'd probably be Sawinski, Steer, Donovan, or Sawinski, Donovan, Steer. But those three are all pretty solid. And then with the depth that you mentioned, Luke, solid depth around the division. So the groupings, while I would say Yelich and Hap are one and two and pretty solidly one and two, those other three are they're not too far behind, and they're all right there with each other, I think.
I think
like Connor Joe.
Yeah, Connor Joe's in there too. I think he's a good player. Yeah.
Again, if Lars Nubar was healthy, I think he would argue to be ahead of Ian Happ. To me, he's that good, as much as I like to joke about him being a creative player from MLB The Show.
He does have a great name.
This Ian, like you said, Ryan, Ian Happ's a little bit more proven. He's got an all-star on the resume.
He's got some gold glove.
But unfortunately, I do think Yelich probably the best here. But that's just going into this year, coming off the year that he had, which was, he's a 4.1 F WAR last year, which is not far off of Cody Bellinger. So, whatever.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not. You will never over my dead body am I ranking Christian Yelich number one at anything.
I'm not really ranking him number one. I'm just saying, like, yeah. I understand that he had a good year last year.
Until I got that, until we get that public apology to you, Darvish, like, Christian Yelich. Yep. Yeah, I don't have nice things to say about him. But I think the Yelich-Hap thing does represent, you know, a sort of interesting thing to watch this season and a potentially huge one as these teams are, you know, the Brewers are dealing with, they lost a lot. The Devin Williams thing is a big deal. So, yeah. like, there's a lot going on there. But, you know, for Hap, he's had back-to-back seasons in the mid-threes. Like, yeah, if we're looking at F-War, we are a Fangraphs War family, as Cody has, you know.
Luke recently converted to Fangraphs
Family. Well, only because the Stucky stats aren't
the steroids. Yeah. you know, so you have him putting up back-to-back seasons that are a step above, obviously, where he had been at before, getting defensive accolades now. And the big question, as you alluded to, Ryan, like, is Christian Yelich kind of back? Like, it certainly wasn't at that MVP level, but a four-win season, definitely not what he was doing for a little while. So it does suggest perhaps that knee is maybe healed up and he's feeling better. And, you know, but he's also, I think, like, at some point in this season, he'll be 33 or he's going into it 32 in 4 months, whatever it is. So those are questions, you know, as we've seen with guys like Paul Goldschmidt. You know, he was 35, you know, putting up MVP level seasons. And I remember sitting here going, like, is he just going to be this good until he's 45 years old? Like, could he slow down? And last year it looked like, you know, maybe you sort of started to see a little bit of that
he
age
still put
showing
up a good season, but yeah,
he did, but not as
an
good.
MVP was an MVP.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. So that's, you know, that might be a pretty, like, integral thing to how this division plays out and just even how those head-to-head matchups go. Like, is Ian Happ able to continue being that player or even possibly put together a better offensive season? And is Christian Yelich now kind of just back to being Christian Yelich? He's going to be that type of hitter again. I don't know, but I'll, you know, throw Ian Happ at number one because I don't like Christian Yelich. So.
Big of you. All right. Yeah. To sum it up, the Cubs have the best outfield in division. Fact.
Yeah.
This is not going, FAX. This is fact.
Going into the season, it feels that way.
Going into the season. Yeah. Yes. And
overall, yeah.
And I say this with and, like, emphasize the fact that to have three outfield positions locked up pretty well that have given you success or have been successful, like, do I need to mention the injuries across the division in this position right now? Like, again, I've done it like three or four times. Like, again, I understand that this team isn't World Series ready yet unless, like, you know, the whatever the Diamondbacks were drinking last year somehow gets injected into the Cubs this season. But I think you hope to see Seiya take that next step. You hope to see Belly continue to do what he does, and hopefully PCA comes up and adds to that, right? And Hap just gives you another 3.5 to 4 WAR season like he has the last 2 years, right? Like, that's what the Cubs are banking on. Honestly, fans should bank on it too, because if they're not doing that, then we have even more questions to answer and more issues to talk about. I don't want to be concerned about the outfield in July. I want to still only be concerned about the two corner positions, because at least that's just two things that we need to worry about, you know? So that's my spiel.
Well, and hopefully we get to a point, as we've talked about, that the situation we're talking about, the outfield, is how do you fit these people in? Yeah. What do you do with those prospects are playing well and you have to figure out, okay, now we have a good problem to have. Yeah. Like, do we need to trade people? And the whole team might not look like that. There's positions where it's certainly not going to be like that. But
sure.
The outfield at least represents a territory where hopefully things just go so well that it becomes a problem for Craig and Jed to figure out what do we do with all these good outfielders. That sounds like a nice place to live.
Sure. All right. Gerard is here.
Gerard's at the game.
He's at the game. He's in the chat. And he's telling us that there hasn't been a hit
yet. There has not been a hit yet for the Cubs.
So perhaps we switch up the vibes by finishing the show and maybe the Cubs will get a hit. And then if they do, you can all credit us. for sure. Ending the show.
They're getting no hit, and Hector's giving up bombs. So we could also just end the show by panicking.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm going to we're going to end the show, and I'm going to go scream out on the balcony. All right. Stuck.
Yeah.
I hope you feel better, man.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I'm not going to say it.
Knock on wood real quick, because you kind of started saying it.
Yeah,
I did. But that's the medication to say.
Friendly reminder, go to our watch party.
The watch party, 8 days.
Got eight days,
all right?
RSVP.
Information on allchgo.com under the events tab.
I'll be there.
Sarah will be there. Yeah. Barb, I know you'll love Sarah so much. We also would love to just finally meet you, Barb, if you ever want to, you know, you could come to our watch party, all right?
Yeah.
You can bring us some tuna balls. Yeah.
Oh, boy. Yeah, Barb, just walk in with them, right?
Absolutely. We'd love that.
Yeah, so we'll be back tomorrow, 3:30. I won't be here. They're dragging me to Circus Sportsbook. They're literally dragging me tomorrow to...
Dragging you,
Circus Sportsbook.
The Bears guys are dragging me to Circus Sportsbook tomorrow, so I'm going to be there.
As if you don't want to sit in a sports book and watch
with March Madness.
Watch stuff.
Watch March Madness. They're dragging
me. Blue moons.
I'm so upset about it.
Everybody pray for Cody.
But
he ran Kevin in front Wells. Of Barr to stop it, and make sure he was going.
Yeah, unbelievable.
But Kevin Wells will be in for me tomorrow, so at least you could see his beautiful face. All right, so I'll see y'all next week. Thanks for checking out the CHO Cubs podcast presented by Blue Moon. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye. Y'all silly like the mayor.
The first taste of rare bourbon you finally got your hands on. That's nice. At Caskers.com, we make this experience easy. Caskers is a one-stop spirit curator with an impressive selection of exclusive, sought-after, rare, and household names in the realm of premium spirits and champagne. Discover the top flavors of the year now by going to Caskers.com and using code WELCOME10 for $10 off your first purchase. Get $10 off your first purchase with code WELCOME10 at Caskers.com.